Welcome back to the Bible Reading Podcast. I am your host, Brianna Shelnut, and I'm joined by the awesome, by the amazing, by whoever is still keeping track, still pregnant, Nessa Goss.
Yep, still pregnant, hoping that this is the month that the baby comes.
Yes, April is baby month. We are so excited to meet sweet baby boy Goss. He's going to be amazing. He's going to be great. Nessa, how are you feeling today?
Feeling good. Today has been pretty fast, so that's always good when you have quick days, I think.
Yes, I think quick days kind of go by fast, but then you wake up and you're like, oh my gosh, what happened?
Yes.
Where did the time go? But time is fleeting, but this podcast is not. We're really excited to be here, you guys. We have a special treat for you today. Mm-hmm. We are joined by the wonderful, thought-provoking, amazing Annalise. She's incredible, you guys.
Yes.
Her work, if you've ever seen it, if you've ever read anything she's written, you are truly touched and blessed by everything she writes. Mm-hmm. So, Annalise, how are you? Hi. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm doing well. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'll introduce myself a little bit
to
your audience. But I'm 26, stay-at-home mom. I have a 2-year-old, and then I'm pregnant with a girl now. My 2-year-old is a boy, and I'm pregnant with a girl, almost coming up on 24 weeks pregnant. And then, yeah, I run my Instagram, which is I'm_Annalise_, but you may remember me as feminine, not feminist, mm-hmm. If you've ever come across my content, but I recently changed my handle, so you can find me there. And yeah, I write about faith and marriage and a little bit of like healthy living and like a little bit about motherhood, but I'm just really new, so I don't really feel like talking a lot about motherhood. So,
well, yeah. We all need each other for that.
Yes, so. We do. We joke on the pod all the time that we over talk about motherhood and that we probably should just have a separate meeting to talk about motherhood. But I personally, I feel like your work has definitely touched me in interesting seasons, like very weird seasons. I'm like, let me see what Annalise has to say about this. I'm sure she's written something about this. Mm-hmm. But today we are talking about modesty and femininity and just what the Bible has to say about that. How do you feel about that, Nessa?
I feel like it's a topic that is very... I don't know. It depends on the person that you're talking to. Like, it's a super hot topic, especially in the Christian world, or in the worldly world, being a feminist and what that truly means and what it is now.
Yeah.
And being, you know, just feminine and it's okay, or, you know, I think it's just really,
I think this topic is something that can be hard to talk about. And this is going to be funny for everyone who has been listening with us for a really long time. You know that we've covered a lot of hard topics. We've covered LGBTQ. We've covered spiritual warfare. We've covered abortion. You know, we just did our abortion episode, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, sitting down in this chair and getting ready to talk about modesty, I'm like shaking in my boots, like more than the other ones.
Right.
And I don't know if that's because like you said, I don't know if it's because it is such a hot topic or because some people may think of it as subjective, but it's one of those things where I'm like, are we equipped to tackle this?
That's why we brought
Annalise to help us tackle this topic. So Annalise, you mentioned your Instagram page that was previously feminine, not feminist. What a wild name. What made you come up with that? What made you choose to go forth with that?
Yeah, I did not come up with that slogan. I saw it somewhere. So I was not the first one. People are like, can I use that on a t-shirt? I'm like, I didn't come up with it. You can do whatever you want with it.
Nice.
Someone somewhere came up with it. But I took it and made like a page with it. And I just, it was really succinct because it pretty much summarized what I'm trying to be and what I'm not trying to be in 3 words. So,
what turns you off from feminism?
When I think of feminism, I think of the initial interaction in the Garden of Eden, between Adam and Eve, and then God between Adam and Eve, where God says, your desire shall be for your husband, but he will rule over you. Mm-hmm. And then you see ever since then that there is, what's the word I'm looking for? Contention or animosity between men and women. That was never God's intent from the beginning, but it's part of being in a fallen world. Yeah. And feminism, what turns me off from feminism is that I believe that it feeds into that animosity. It throws fuel into the fire of that animosity. And by contrast, femininity, just being a woman as God intends it, is healing from that. And I started that page with that name because I was seeing in my own heart and in my own marriage where I had feminist mindsets and how it was affecting my husband and I's relationship. And so what turns me off from it is that I've seen it in myself and it only bears bad fruit. So
how long have you and your husband been married?
We're coming up on 6 years in May.
Congratulations. 6 years.
Thank you.
I'm coming up on 5 years in September, actually. So we're actually a little right behind each other. Nessa's the veteran over here.
We'll be celebrating 9 years in August.
Yeah.
Woo! Okay.
So excited.
That's awesome.
Yes. But, you know, by no means experts or anything like for, you know, for everyone who's like, that's nothing. You got nothing on.
Right.
I've got 60 plus years. You know, we're not claiming to be experts. But I like that you said that. Even within Christians, there can be the seeds of, you know, feminism, like all that stuff kind of leaks in. So I find myself trying to figure out, okay, how do I keep those thoughts out? How do I keep those mindsets out? And of course, the knee-jerk reaction is to go to the Word. And, you know, here on Bible Reading Podcast, that's what we do. We encourage you to read your Bible, to get in the Word, to know what it says, to try not to be influenced by worldly influences or worldly doctrine, but to really understand what the Bible says and why it says what it says. So today, I thought that we could look into 1 Timothy 2 verse 9, and where Timothy writes, I also want the women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, adorning themselves not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. So a lot of, and we're not just talking, I know we were talking about feminism, but I think feminism and modesty tie hand in hand really well. I feel like they almost are not without one another. Like, you can't have a conversation about feminism without also talking about modesty and how that pertains to people in the church and to the world outside of it. Now, with our podcast, we do primarily speak to Christians, other Christians. If someone, you know, outside of that gets something from it, awesome, amazing. We want that. We hope that. But this conversation is geared towards Christian women. Yes. We're talking about Christian women. Not that modesty is not a topic for men. It is, but I think that is a different podcast. I think that's a different episode that we'll have to tackle, you know, how modesty pertains to men and, you know, the porn industry and all that stuff. That's a different thing. I can't tackle that right now, but I can tackle modesty towards women. So 1 Timothy, what do we think? What are our thoughts? When I read that, what was the first thing that kind of spoke to you about that passage?
I think for me, it was the end and what we should be adorning ourselves with is the worship of God and things like that in our hearts and our posture and, you know, not that having gold and pearls and big hairstyles is a sin, but we should be not focusing on that. Mm-hmm. You know, it should be focusing on our love for Christ. And that's what will shine through. That's at least what I thought about it.
Okay. What about you, Annalise? What you got?
Yeah, it's very hotly debated whether modesty in this context is talking about an attitude or if it's talking about what you physically wear. And to that I say, why can't it be both? God is concerned with all of us, like body and soul and spirit. So like he's a God of is holistic in how he cares for us. And so we can take this verse holistically. And about modesty, I like to go back to Genesis 3 and the fall, because there's just a lot there.
Mm-hmm.
When Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing they recognized was that they were naked.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they were ashamed. And their instinct was to cover themselves with fig leaves. And nobody, like, and God even says, like, who told you that you were naked? No one told them. They just had that understanding. And then God does say, well, it's fine. You know, he actually gives them a better covering.
Right.
Of animals. Like, fig leaves, it's only going to do so much for you. But like an animal skin, that's like a full garment.
Yeah.
And so that sense of shame that they had, God didn't say, oh no, that shame is bad that you feel that. He validated it, honestly, and gave them a better covering, a more proper covering. And so if I could think about our culture in a nutshell, it's like, we're trying to convince ourselves that we don't have shame.
Right.
And so modesty can be a very triggering topic because it reminds us of that shame far back in our history.
Yeah.
And we want nothing to do with it. And no. And when we read about modesty, it's like, no, like there is a covering. We are supposed to cover ourselves, you know, until that day that we will be in glorified bodies, and who knows what that's going to look
like. Right.
To say modesty is simply, it's like a recognition of the shame that comes with sin and living like with discretion and discernment in light of that, and not naively pretending that it's not there.
Right.
And I think that that's like, you see a lot of like feminist campaigns of like free the titties or whatever. Like, I don't even, but yep. All that is like, no, there's no shame, right? Yeah, it's like disagreeing with God that there's shame. So like, that doesn't answer the particulars of like how covered you should be. Right. But, I think that can say, oh, it's definitely pertains to our covering, because it pertained to our covering back in Genesis 3.
Right.
I love that you went back to Genesis, because our pastor always
takes it back to Genesis.
If there's a question, he's like, well, let's go to the beginning and read something in Genesis. So that was amazing. And you're right. People, especially Christian people, we sing about being shame free. And I feel like what you're saying is absolutely correct. And we're kind of trying to justify, well, I don't have any shame anymore, so I can wear this and show all of this and all of that. But it's like what you're saying is we're recognizing that this covering is purposeful, and yes, there's no more, we don't have to feel shameful anymore, but we still need to recognize that that is not what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Like, I can't put it into words.
Right. No, I really hear what you're saying. 'Cause like, as a Christian, when I say like, I am free from shame, like I'm talking about sin and its effect on me. Right.
That's okay.
And I'm talking about freedom from shame of my past, things I've done, and the things that I still struggle with. I'm free from shame. But like, when I'm modest, it's not because I'm ashamed of my body or I think it's bad or being a woman.
Yes.
Right.
So good.
Acknowledging that because sin entered, there is something like in our very psyche that tells us that we need a covering, right? Because we can't stand bare before God and bare before others. And being a Christian doesn't mean that all goes away.
Right.
Like I'm free from the shame of sin, but like, I'm not free from my innate human experience of being in a body in a sinful world.
Right.
That's so good. So do you think that, and I mean this in like the most literal sense, like how do you think that culture continuously tries to erode that sense of shame? Like, how do you think that we've gotten to this point where even Christian women have that debate within themselves where it's like, okay, well, you know, I hear this all the time or I see it all the time. Oh, well, God knows my heart, or like modesty is up to me. And then you'll like, or, you know, everyone has different definitions of what modest is. And then like to some people, it's like, okay, well, just for an example, you know, I grew up like my parents are Haitian. Most of our listeners know, but I grew up in the closest, my husband calls it Baptist. Like he's like, Haitians are basically Baptists. I'm like, okay, if you say so, fine. but you know, we had to wear the skirts. We had to, you know, like our hair had to be tied up a certain way, you know, like we'd get spanked if we didn't have stockings on, you know, with like the shoes. Right. So I grew up that way. And then going to a more American church, you know, I was shocked. I was like, oh, you guys are different. Yeah. You know, like you guys are really different. And so how do you think that culture has played a part in the way Christians view modesty? Like Christians specifically, not the world, because the world will be the world. You know, like we can argue all day long about whatever, what celebrities are wearing or whatever, you know, the world's going to world, but Christian women specifically have so much debate within that. Do you think that the debate is warranted, or do you think that there should be a common line of, okay, this is modest, this isn't?
Well, I think part of what we're witnessing is just the result of living in a free country.
Yeah.
Like we're going to talk about these things. And so obviously I think some people are wrong and some people are right, mm-hmm. but I can acknowledge that, you know, I'm glad that we even have the ability to have these debates.
Yeah.
Because it just shows that we're like, that's a beautiful thing. However, I do think that in the past, social taboos were in place for a reason.
Yeah.
And were they biblical necessarily? No, I'm not saying they were necessarily all biblical. Were they just as influenced by culture? Probably, right? But all I'm saying is I think social taboos have existed for a reason, and because we have a very individualistic spirit in the United States, we want to challenge it, and that can be good sometimes, and that can be bad. Just kind of who we are as Americans. And so it makes sense to me that we're going to question every little thing. Well, we're, you know, and as long as we're going back to scripture and saying, well, does God actually say this? And does God actually say that? Mm-hmm. But as far as like culture seeping in, like, I don't know why, but one of the things that popped into my mind as you were talking was, have you ever seen like ads for like pads or tampons, like period products?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is like destigmatizing and like, let's talk about this, and like, it's okay to just bleed through, blah, 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 blah. Like,
we have just lost our 0.3 male listeners. We worked really hard on those three listeners. Annalise.
Sorry, guys. I think they'll agree with me here.
Yeah. Yeah, go for it. They don't want to see that.
We've been reading Leviticus.
Yeah.
And let's see, we're in Numbers now. So we've been just like been going through the Old Testament from the beginning.
Mm.
And so we've been learning about like what's clean and unclean,
yes.
like in the Old Testament, right? For the Hebrew people. I'm not saying we need to like, I don't believe we follow that law, right? But just track what I'm saying. But like the whole thing with like menstrual impurity, like it was understood that it wasn't something you were out in the open with.
Right.
Right. And it wasn't like this destigmatize and normalize it. It was like, it was kept in a sense. It's another one of those shame things. Like, yeah, like it's kind of weird that, you know, you're bleeding every month. And, now I only bring that up just to say like, we as a culture have swung to the far other side.
Yeah.
I obviously don't believe that women are unclean if they're on their periods or something. Like I'm not an Old Testament Jew. Like, but my point is we can learn some principles of like, there's a sense of like sobriety and, like taste, or what's the word I'm looking for? Like there's a word, shamefacedness. Maybe that's in the KJV. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But there's a sense of that, that we are so repulsed by in our culture. And to the point that we start questioning things that are actually really reasonable. Like, mm-hmm. why can't I walk around with my boobs hanging out?
Right.
To the point that we're questioning things that are, I believe, like self-evident by our very natures.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm not attracted to women, but if a woman walks by me drawn, not out of attraction, but just because I recognize like, whoa, like what's going on there? Like, mm-hmm. that's not normal.
Yes.
And it's not something I ever learned or was taught. It's just, I know when something is out that shouldn't be out. Like yeah. It's a self-evident thing.
Right.
So that's all I'm trying to say.
Yes. It's innate.
Yeah. It's an innate thing. Okay. I've never had the conversation of modesty at the point of, oh, it's innate versus, you know, it's not even a, oh, okay. It's something we do know that God has given us to know.
Right.
You almost lost me with the period stuff, but I realized as you kept talking that I agree with you because a few days ago, Ness and I actually were talking about how right now in the age of social media and, you know, like all that stuff, now we're kind of witnessing women birthing on camera. Like they'll either... like they'll have their home birth or something and they'll, you know, to have pictures taken of them or they'll really record. Like I do have a friend that I know who has recorded her entire birth, like, and her bouncing on the ball half naked, you know, and like doing all the things. And this isn't to, you know, call out women who birth at home or anything. Like if any of you know me and Nessa's friendship, Nessa's had home birth. She's going to have another home birth. Like I'm not shading or anything like that. That is not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is things that were private now are these public things. And it wasn't like that before. And culture has swung in a totally different direction with a lot of things. Like, and it's not to say, and I don't, you know, we don't have to fully agree. It's not to say that I don't think that there can be benefits to that, because I do think that, oh, some young mom seeing this, it might inspire her to have a home birth or, you know, show that she can do it or, you know, destigmatizing periods might help people be more educated or something like that. But,
right.
But in the name of education, are we overexposed? Yeah. How far do we go with that?
Yeah.
Like, how far are we willing to take it as Christians? Like, once again, not the world, but as Christians, how far do we, like, how far do we trade exposure for education? How far do we trade, you know, the things that should be intimate between a husband and wife for, you know, likes and approval and all those things? Like, how far are we willing to take it? So, even, and I don't know if you guys have seen the trend of like on social media with the women who are dressing in their, what their version of modest is. And they're like, okay, if you need some modest inspo, here it is. And then like you go in the comments and all the comments are like, this is immodest. You know, like, what is this? Really? Your curves are showing, you know, like your shoulder was out. Your ankle has been seen, you know, it's like, and you're like, okay, well, they're trying. To be modest. It might not be what you think it is, but they're trying to put it out there. So it's like, okay, are we putting out the right stuff? But then you go and see someone who's like really covered up and all you get is the hate in the comments. Like, this is too much. Are they Muslim? Like, what's going on? This is way too extreme. So all that to say is where should Christian women, like, what are practical tips for Christian women to not only live modestly within, you know, their community, within their hearts, within their marriage? Because we really haven't even touched on the verse that's like, you know, the stumbling verse. What's that stumbling verse?
Oh, not causing a brother to stumble. Yeah, it's addressed to like all Christians.
Yeah, it's addressed to everyone.
But it's the one that comes up the most whenever you talk about purity or modest dressing. I feel like that's the main one that comes up where it's like, oh, you don't want to cause your brother to stumble, or you don't want to cause someone to, like, you know, fall into sin or temptation or something. I mean, I guess beautiful women have always existed, but I feel like there's a lot of pressure to look a certain way, be a certain way, post a certain picture, you know, wear certain clothes. Like, I feel like there's this unadulterated pressure these days that's been exacerbated by social media, by magazines, by TV, by all these things. You know, like, how as Christian women do we navigate being truly the light of the world and, you know, standing out, being holy, being set apart from it, but while still maintaining the feeling of, oh, I am allowed to be desired and classy at the same time, but yeah. still, you know, like, because unless you are a nun, not everyone wants right. to dress like a nun, you know? So I just, that's what yeah. I find yeah. myself wrestling with, to be completely honest. Like, okay, I do like my sense of style. I do like, you know, the dresses I wear or the, you know, clothes that I like and, you know, the shoes, and I don't mind makeup and all that stuff. So how do people straddle the line where it's like, okay, I want to be modest and I want to honor the Lord with my body. I want to honor my husband. I want to honor, you know, other Christians. I want to be the light of the world. But what are practical ways that I can do that?
Yeah, this is something I've probably changed a lot on in the past few years because both my husband and I have actually become less strict in modesty standards, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, I know to most people, I would still be considered like it would still be not normal in terms of like how the world dresses. But for me, it's actually like a pretty big difference. Like, I think that I didn't quite understand, like, it's okay for my clothes to show that I'm a woman.
Yeah.
Like, because that's how God made me. Mm-hmm. And, we're never asked in scripture to hide that. Mm-hmm. Like if anything, we see like the glory of being a woman. And then you see like in marriage, like the husband admiring his wife in more intimate ways, but that's like specifically in marriage. And so it's okay to be a woman. It's okay to be attractive. It's okay to be desirable. But like, it talks about in Proverbs, it talks about the like adulterous woman.
Yeah.
And it talks about like, she comes out like dressed as a prostitute. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was interesting because I was like, well, that like, clearly, I don't know what it looked like back then to be dressed as a prostitute, like right. versus today. Right. It may have been totally different, but whatever it was, it was indicating something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can take that principle, then you can think in your clothes, blah, blah, blah. You can look at your clothes in terms of what does this communicate?
Yeah.
What kind of message does it send?
That's good.
It's a spectrum. Yeah. And like you said, like maybe like my top would communicate something to someone, but that's really not what it's communicating. And, you know, cause I don't believe women need to only wear dresses and skirts. And I don't believe that our necklines need to be up to here and that our skirts need to be down to our knees or whatever. Like, that's not my conviction. It's a spectrum. However, the people that do have that conviction, I take no issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
The legalists, unless they're saying, you know, you saved or whatever, because we're all going to fall somewhere uniquely. But my stance is it's okay to be a woman and it's okay to look, it's okay to show that you're a woman in the clothes that you wear. And it is good to ask one's husband if you're married,
mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure he'll have a good perspective and, like you might grow as a couple in that area. My husband and I certainly have, like, I was pretty, I dressed a lot more, I don't know, nunnish for a few years.
Once again, no offense to nuns.
And then, well, cause like my husband kind of realized, he's like, I mean, he's like, I like seeing clothes on you that are like, you know, a little more attractive. And like, yeah, you're like, that's not bad.
So it's okay for husbands to have a preference is what you're saying.
Right. And so I think talk to your husband if you're married. Know that it's okay to be a woman and to look like a woman. And then like like talk to the Lord, like as you like get dressed. And like over time, it's not a big thing that you're going to be asking yourself every day. Like if you're super new to it, it might be like, is this modest? Is this modest? Is this modest?
Right. But
the more you learn it, you gain discernment. You're not going to be thinking about it every day. You just throw your clothes on and go. It's not a big deal. It doesn't consume your life. Certainly doesn't consume mine. Like, right. And so, but you know, you gain that discernment as you go. And I've witnessed different like influencers who have become, and then they're kind of like talk their modesty journey a little bit. And like their version of modest is still something I would have thought was not modest, but I can still look at that and appreciate their journey.
Right.
And just see like the Holy Spirit at work and not take this really, like judgmental approach to it. So I'm very like, yeah, obviously I care about modesty. What the point is that, are you trying to remove your shame or are you trying to pretend that there's no shame? Right. I think there are clothes that like very clearly just say like, it doesn't matter. There's no shame. And, you know, we should dress in such a way that says, yes, there was a fall. Mm-hmm. And ever since that fall, we need a covering.
Right.
Doesn't need to be a burqa or whatever, but we need a covering. Yeah. So
that's good.
That's so good. I love that. Pivoting just a little bit. We talked about modesty. We talked about feminism just a little bit. We've already kind of done a episode on toxic masculinity and all that stuff. Something that has always, anytime I've visited your work or anything you've written, something that always heavily convicts me is the toxic femininity aspect of some of your writing, where you've said that sometimes women can do no wrong. And it's annoying that it's not, you know, preached about or, you know, like women aren't as reprimanded, you know, as much as men are. And something that you wrote that personally really convicted me that I'll share is that you said that women are not inherently more holy than men.
Yeah.
Like that is something that has stuck with me for years. And like I had to really like learn, like relearn that and teach myself that all the time, every single day. And so would you mind speaking on that just for a second? Like how you came to that revelation, like, cause God would have to come down to earth and hit me to give me that revelation. So please tell me how you got there.
Well, I realized that it was something I believed deep down and that a lot of people believed because like, let's talk about, for instance, I don't know if you're on Twitter, but Twitter is a good place to see this play out.
Yeah.
Women can talk all they want about their standards for a man, what they want in a man and what's masculine to them. And it's like, it's totally fine. I mean, for the most part. But if a man talks about, yeah, I'd like a, like, if a man says that he wants to marry like a fit woman, it's like, how dare you talk about a woman's body or whatever. Or, you know, like if a man talks about wanting to marry a feminine woman who like will submit to her husband, like he's just seen as being, you know, some evil jerk.
Yeah.
And it just, I began to notice this double standard. Women were allowed to have preferences and to be vocal about them. The men had to shut up and they couldn't say what they wanted. They couldn't comment on women's bodies, women's whatever, you know, if you tell a woman to smile, you're being a misogynist. Like the double standards, I just kept seeing over and over and over again. And I was thinking, what is the root at this? Like, what is the heart? Water? You go, Ben. Yeah. And I just kept thinking like, what is the root at this to where we've just imbibed this as a culture. And my theory is that because so many people are influenced by Marxist thought, which views people in terms of gender, race, like wealth.
Yeah.
And then makes everything about power dynamics within that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's men are oppressors and women are oppressed. Mm. And so women as the oppressed class, we get a special status where we can speak our mind, we can have opinions, but men being the oppressors dare not say anything because they are, they need to like pay penance for what they've done. So it's like, it's kind of like critical theory.
Yes.
Like there's like critical race theory, mm-hmm. but this is like critical gender theory kind yeah. of like seeing people purely through the lens, not of their innate worth as a human, not as being made in the image of God, but as their societal like power and how that power affects other people, which is such a poisonous way of seeing people.
Yeah.
But that's why I think we've come to this conclusion. Well, if women are oppressed, you know, we're good and we're more innocent and we're more pure. And so we need to listen to women more and we need to, you know, trust women more than we trust men mm. because they're better. And when I call out that, people actually get pretty upset because I am calling out a deeply embedded belief.
Yeah. Like it's a deep belief. Even as you were speaking, I'm like, yes, this soothes my soul. You know, and I'm like, no, it's wrong. It's not true. The Bible says all have fallen short of the glory of God. Like all have sinned, not just men, not just, you know, like all. Every single one, you know, and sometimes
God shows no partiality.
Yes.
Right. We see in James, like, and it's funny too. Like, it's not just like God shows no partiality and he's nice to the poor people, but he also like, there's a verse in the Old Testament about not taking from the poor, not taking from the rich to give to the poor.
Yeah.
Like when God says he shows no partiality, it means he cares for the poor and he cares for the rich.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He cares for the powerful and the weak.
Yep.
So we like to take that to be like, yeah, like we just have such Marxist thinking that we're like, yes, destroy the bourgeois class. And, you know,
it's the Robin Hood, you know, like phenomenon in our head that like, oh, there's a good side, there's a bad side. But in reality, it's just there's God. And then there's us who are sinful. Right. Like that's what it is.
Right. Yeah. Right. And in Christ, there's no male or female, Jew, Greek. Like Christ, he destroys those power distinctions. Mm-hmm. And you see this a lot in the epistles with like slaves and masters and how they're instructed mm-hmm. To interact with one another. And he says, like, he tells like slaves to serve their masters well, but if they can avail themselves of the opportunity to be free, then do it. Right. So it's like, it's just so like God is not Marxist at all. Mm-hmm. He's so impartial. And so it's just hard for us to wrap our brains around. So yeah, when I realized what was going on, I was like, okay, how do I say this in a way that is very succinct? Mm-hmm. Women are not morally superior mm-hmm. and men are not morally inferior. And you'd be amazed how much that like really hits something in people because right. they do believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It like I said, it definitely helped shift some worldview thinking, like where I was like, oh my gosh, I love Jesus, but I do believe this, or I did believe this for a while. Like, even if I didn't realize I believed it, I still thought it was in every single action. And like the minute I stopped believing it, things immediately improved within my marriage, within my relationship with other men, within, you know, with my relationship with, you know, my father, like things like that. Like it immediately shifted my point of view and my worldview. Something, and whew, y'all, this is the podcast where I get vulnerable. Something that my husband had to really correct me on was, if I would kind of say phrases like, oh, you can't trust men, or, you know, like saying degrading, like not mean degrading type things.
Just like little pokes.
Little pokes, yeah. Like nothing, you know, I would never cuss my husband out or anything, y'all. But like just tiny phrases like that. Like, oh, can't trust men, or oh, I bet a man said that, or oh, like, you know, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't say that. And I'm like, why? It's what everyone says, you know, it's just, it's harmless. And he's like, no, it's not. It's you're saying that and generalizing about a whole group of people that are not a monolith, and that, you know, like, you can't just make those statements, because if the coin was flipped and I said that, oh, all women do this or all women do that, you'd be, you know, you'd be enraged. I said, you are so right. And he was like, and don't speak like that in front of our children. Okay. I'm like, yeah. Okay, I hear you. Put me in your place. Put me in my place. Thank you, husband.
It's like, it's totally, like, if I was just like, yeah, like I hate Koreans or something. You know, it's just like, you know, I don't. My sister-in-law is Korean. I love Koreans. But like, you would hear how absurd and how evil that is. And how, and the thing is there's a word for, so we have the word misogyny, and everyone knows what misogyny is.
He's misandry. Misogynist. Yeah.
But the misandry, right?
Misandry, yeah.
And we need to bring back this word, and we need to start saying, oh, hey, that's misandrous to say that.
Yeah.
You know, the way that we use misogyny, we need to start using that word. You know, you just said that, you know, all men cheat or whatever.
Right.
Well, that's not true. That's your misandry showing or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
So.
But man, it is and for all of you who are like, and it's so hard. Yeah, it's hard. But we're called to renew our minds, you know, daily, all the time, renew our minds and check biases. Check why do you believe what you believe? Like, who are you parroting back? You know, like, and for those who, you know, I talked a little bit about social media, but for those who are only seeing those TikToks or reels of man-hating stuff, like, turn it off.
Yes.
Switch it off. That is a practical step right there. Switch it off. If the only thing in your feed is immodest women or people who you're not trying to emulate, or, you know, like, and once again, for the Christian women out there, turn it off. Switch your feed. I started really following your stuff when I became a stay-at-home mom, and I was like trying to find, you know, community that of women who were serving their husbands every day, who were serving their families diligently, and who had the mindset that I was trying to emulate. And I was like, you know what? Let me find these women who are doing it right, who I want to be more like, where I can start putting their wisdom towards my own. And, you know, like, just trying to be better in the way that I was trying to be better. And one of those things was having to get rid of the stuff that I used to follow, because I'm like, I'm not single and don't have kids anymore. You know, like, I'm a married woman with children and a household, and I have to know how to take care of that household and take care of my husband. And if I don't have anyone teaching me, then I need to start following people who can do that. So that's my practical tip, to start changing your mindset about those kind of things. Like, start following people who reflect what you want to reflect. And of course, reading your Bible, knowing what it says, being open to correction, being open to the Holy Spirit saying, hey, don't put that on. Hey, you might not want to say that. Check that thought. Check that bias. Run that through my word one time. You know, like, that would be my practical advice. What about you, Nessa? What do you think?
Good.
I would say that it takes effort. You know, like you're saying, you had to realize that you were in this place that wasn't good, and actively change what you see, what you follow, what you put into yourself. And a lot of it is reading the Bible. If you are not actively seeking the Lord, how can he speak to you? Mm-hmm. How can he give you discernment? How can you grow in that Holy Spirit whisper in your mind to know if maybe this does communicate more of something, or to know that thought is going to be hurtful to your husband or to your son eventually, you know, or to your daughter, you know what I mean? Even it just takes effort. And I feel like I didn't grow up the way that you did. But my parents never talked about modesty or anything, but somehow it was always in me for some reason. Like, I remember being like 7 or 8, and it was like, we lived in California at this time, and it was like extremely hot, and I was like jealous that my dad and Nick could, like, my brother could, like, wear no shirt, and I was like, why can't I wear no shirt? And my dad was like, you can. And I immediately felt uncomfortable. I was just like, but I'm a girl, I don't want to just take my shirt off, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know where that came from, but it was always kind of in me. And yes. So I agree. I think it's definitely, if you are a Bible-believing Christian, Holy Spirit-filled person, like, it's in you.
It's innate.
Yes, and it can grow. And so I love, it's a relationship with the Lord. It's, you know, you have to put work into it, though. It's not just going to
happen.
Yeah. Right. And my mom did a good job at instilling the Holy Spirit in me, not, you know, wear your dress. In fact, I hated dresses
when I was. Yeah, you're a big tomboy.
I was a big tomboy. Yeah. But I was also girly at the same time. Like, I like sparkles and all that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she just instilled the Holy Spirit in me. And I think that was the biggest thing. So that's what I would say is just, it's only the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can change your mind, change your heart, lead you into the right direction.
So good. Amen.
Anything else, girl?
I mean, we covered a lot.
We did, which is really
covered a lot.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. I wish I had more than just an hour. Like, I feel like I could go on about all the things because it's such a, like, there's so many facets to this conversation to me, but I loved where we took it. I love where we talked about, how it is an innate thing within us to have shame, to, need God, to have a covering over us. You know, like, I love that. That is something that I've never heard preached before. Mm-hmm. I've always heard it as like, okay, well, you know, modesty is subjective. What's modest to you might not be modest to someone else. What's modest to, you know, whatever. So, but that always kind of left too many parameters to me. Like, it wasn't enough boundaries.
Yeah, it was like too vague.
Too vague. And it felt like it was purposely vague so that there could be all these little loopholes to it where you're like, okay, well, you know, that's not my religion, or that's not how I feel, or that's not my conviction, which is the popular, you know, thing to say. But it's like, or, right. Oh, purity culture got it all wrong. So we need to just toss out purity in general and toss out modesty in general. And, you know, but it's like, no, I do think that God does instill boundaries and that he is a God of law and of justice and of order, and that he is a God that does like things to operate in a certain way that he's operated it. So mm-hmm. I really, it's nice. It's nice having the boundary. It's nice having the parameters where you're like, you know what? I do want to listen to that voice that the Holy Spirit inside me more that says, hey, trust that innate desire that I've placed in you. Trust that innate knowing that I've put in you to be more modest, to strive for more things that not just celebrate your femininity, but honor it. Like, I feel like, and we touched on it a little bit, that culture loves to celebrate all the things that, like, you know, used to be shameful and that used to be all the stuff. But it's like, okay, God does call us to celebrate, but he also calls us to preserve, to cover, to be, to honor the intimate things that he's given us. Like, man, I could go on, but it's good stuff. I feel like, I don't know, for someone out there, don't be afraid to have the conversation. You know, like, even with, you know, we've talked about marriage a lot, but for all my single ladies out there, you know, like, it's okay not to feel the pressure all the time, to feel like you have to compete. Mm-hmm. And you don't, you know, like, it is worth it to save and to be the only person that your husband sees. And, you know, even if everyone's wearing a certain dress to prom, you don't have to wear that dress. You don't have to, you know, look a certain way or do certain things, you know, like, it's less is more.
Mm-hmm.
Less is more.
Yeah.
Did you ever struggle with that when you were younger?
When I was a, like, junior higher, I got, like, truly born again when I was 14. Mm-hmm. And before that, I was just like, I just wanted to be worldly, and I didn't like that I wasn't supposed to be worldly. But then once I was saved, I cared what other people thought about me in different ways, but I really was just a weirdo at school, and I was for the most part okay with it.
Yeah.
I think that was just like, the Holy Spirit was just like, Like, cause it was like, I was still in high school when I met my husband. I feel like the Holy Spirit just put like blinders on my eyes and he was just like, we're just going to get through, you know, like that was kind of my experience. Like I had peace just being weird and being set apart. And like, it's funny. Cause I feel like I'm like, man, I feel like I struggle more now with what people think.
Yeah.
Partly like I just had so much grace as a new convert. And, so just, that's an interesting question. Something interesting to think about.
Sorry. But, I don't know. It's definitely weird. I like how you said, feel like I struggle more now. I kind of feel that way. Like, I feel like, man, I really was not extremely straight and narrow, but for a while I was really straight and narrow and didn't deviate from much of anything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it ebbs and flows. I'm sure I'll come back to the topic of modesty when I'm 45.
Also don't mature into our own bodies until like, you know, 20s.
Right.
Women. So we're always uncomfortable anyway as a young person.
But then, okay, that's a different podcast. That's a different episode. So we can't cover being pregnant and, you know, going through menopause and like all the changes we go through. We can't.
That's true.
We can't do it all in an hour.
We can't.
But thank you, Annalise. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your heart, sharing your ministry. You're incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, you guys, go follow her. I am _ Annalise, spelled Annelise. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Awesome. Yes. Go follow her. I promise you, you will be blessed by it. Like this conversation was just the tip of the iceberg. Like she's incredibly wise, incredibly friendly. Just don't go in the comments. But
thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Yes. No, thank you. Seriously. Let's go ahead, close in prayer. Nessa or Annalise, do you want to pray?
Sure. Just quick
close. Yes.
Yeah. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this conversation. Thank you that we do have your Holy Spirit to even guide this conversation, Lord, and to guide our lives. And I pray for anyone listening who does not know you, that you would reveal yourself to them and they would receive you, Lord. And please just use this to bless whoever's listening. And if we're wrong in any way, please show us that too.
Jesus, amen. Amen. And also, one last plug, y'all. Annalise has her own podcast. It's still under Feminine, Not Feminist. So go check her out. She has amazing gems, amazing episodes that will surely bless you, we promise. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we hope you all have a blessed month.
Bye.